This show is paid for and produced by the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company. The views expressed are not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to This Open House, where we talk about all things real estate related with your hosts, David and Rebecca Guthrie of the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company.
Welcome, welcome yet again, another episode of This Open House. I am David Guthrie, Hacienda Group, Long Realty Company, and this is my gorgeous, amazing wife, Rebecca.
Hello, guys.
Now, for our audience, it has been one hot year, and I tell you, this this yes. week, I've actually been looking for, most people want to escape this week, but I'll tell you, this week marks 11 years of bliss with this beautiful woman right here.
Yep.
And it is so hard to believe. Three kids later and 11 years later. And all of my friends who know me really well, they know Jesus is my rock. Okay, he is my strength. But to quote the late, great Marty Robbins, she's the foundation I lean on. My woman, my woman. My wife.
Aw, thank you. Happy anniversary, darling, tomorrow.
I am just so blessed to be able to be with you, do life with you, have the
kids. Speaking of anniversary
work. We work while kids are throwing up and stuff and we're writing offers.
That's TMI. It's very much TMI.
Hey, any parents out there understand this. This is what happens.
You just
kids are screaming, throwing up. I answer them, this is Dave Guthrie. How you doing? just like turn around, shut the door real fast.
He's done it. It's true.
Just a couple of times.
It's true.
It happens occasionally.
It's hard to believe.
It's 11 I years.
Know. For some reason, 11 seems a lot longer than 10. I don't know why, but it does.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that's what we'll be doing tomorrow.
We are extremely excited. We wanted to share that with our listeners. Or
speaking
if you're
of
on YouTube,
anniversaries, yes. We were coming up at the beginning of August on 1 year doing this show. So
we've
been doing it for 10 and a half months, which is hard to believe.
That is hard to believe
as
well.
So first Saturday in August of last year.
They haven't kicked us off yet.
Not yet.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Let's jump right into stats. So this is the third week of June here, 2021. 712 current active listings as of June 22nd. Now, this shot up from 653.
Yes, it did.
From June 15th.
You know what happened last week?
What happened?
It got really hot. People, and you know what people don't do when it's really hot?
What?
They don't look at houses.
Yeah, but there's new inventory on. There's current active. So.
Right. There's new inventory coming on, but it's not going as fast. What I'm saying is it's not going as fast because it's getting hotter. And that's just historically true. When it gets hotter in Tucson, historically, 2020 doesn't count because all of the spring demand pent up was released into the summer of 2020.
Right.
But if you look at 2019, 2018, 2017, yada, 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 you can see there's a slowdown starting in the end of June to the beginning of October where people are not buying houses as quickly. So it's not something to go, it's just, this is the heat. And, you know, last week you couldn't even do a virtual tour because it was so hot. Phones wouldn't even work.
712 isn't a whole lot.
No, it's
anyway.
Not. It's not a lot. It's
Is
not
it?
A lot. But
it's
when
really
you've been talking
not.
About, you know, 500, 600 houses, 712 feels like significantly more, but it's not.
Yeah, yeah. Percentage-wise, that's a pretty good jump. Now, as far as our sold data goes, we are still sitting at days on market of 4.
Okay.
But, you know, what Rebecca's saying here is, yeah, we might be seeing a slight slowdown. This doesn't mean that all of a sudden the ball's going to drop and everything's going to start and prices are plunging and all of this. No, but you think maybe in the next month or two we'll see a slight tick up in days on market?
I think so. I think that it's a thing to remember that summers in Tucson are hot, and a lot of our pressure has not been from local Tucsonans moving. It's been from out of state people moving and creating that pressure.
Right.
And so with it getting as hot as it is, if you're not used to this level of heat, it makes you tired. There's a reason that countries around civilizations around the equator take siestas. It's because it gets hot.
We need to make the siesta great again.
We should.
We should.
That should be a movement. Make siestas great again.
I bet we could find a logo on a hat.
This is a total tangent, but this is just how my brain works. So there actually is studies about Spain and the siesta and how it's been an impact on Spain's economy because they take a nap in the middle of the day, and when they tried to get in, when the world became a world economy, that it caused a big problem because people wanted to go take naps in the middle of the afternoon, whereas the rest of the world that's colder and they don't take naps in the middle of the afternoon kept chugging along. So there was, it was part of why Spain had such a hard time coming into the 20th century.
I knew you were going to say that. After 11, I just knew. I didn't want to steal it, though.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate
it. Like
my joke. Yeah.
Yes, like your joke the other day.
I'm not a historian, and I don't play one on TV, but I do read a lot of books.
I need the drum. I need the drum sound effect. Yeah, where is that?
Anyways, so I wouldn't be surprised. If I would be concerned, when I would start being worried is if we're looking at the end of October, beginning of November, January of next year, and it's still looking like it's not leveling, it's dropping. But I think this is a leveling just because of the heat and that it's going to pick back up.
We never worry about real estate.
Oh, no. We never worry about real estate.
No. I mean, it's the market is going to do
what the market does.
You know, we've lumber, for instance. Lumber futures traded at CME Group surged as much as 90% this year.
Yeah.
They hit a record high of $1,670 earlier in May. Record high. Due to supply chain bottlenecks and strong demand for building projects amid the pandemic. However, they dropped 40% since that record high reached in May. Last week, lumber futures posted their biggest weekly decline.
Which I actually think is a good thing.
It's a good thing.
And
the market
thing that
just couldn't handle this.
The thing that people need to remember is this is not the people who are growing the wood making a lot of money. They're not making any more money. The people who actually grow
the
trees,
farmers.
It's not the farmers who are making this money. It's the processors. It's the plants who process the lumber. And one of the things that you need to remember is that because of last year, so everything has been standardized. And there is a period of time when the trees are just the right size, where the trunk is just the right size. But if you let the trees grow too long, then they can't be cut on the mills that are currently in production. And because of COVID last year, a bunch of those trees got too big. They didn't get cut, and they didn't get processed when they were the right size. And trees keep growing. We all know this. Trees keep going. And so now we have a problem where the trees are getting too big to be processed in the plant, so they're having to go someplace else to get processed, or they're not getting cut and they're not getting processed because there's no point in spending the money to do that. And that's also causing a bottleneck. So there's a lot of things that go into this, but the farmers are not making bank on this. It's the processors of the wood who are making the money right now.
It's the lumber mills who cut and ship this stuff out.
And they're not foolish. They're in business. They're not foolish. They're not going to increase their plant production or build big different plants right now because the demand is high right now, because that's not guaranteed to sustain. Right? There's a demand right now. There's pent-up demand. But if you go build another factory to deal with that demand, by the time you've gotten everything online, that demand's not going to be there, and that's not going to make you any money. So right now, for the lumber processors, the mills, it makes more sense for them to just do what they're doing and keep going roughly at the pace that they're going. They've tried to increase production a little bit, but you also have to remember that there were COVID restrictions in many of these places.
They stopped, and
they weren't allowing people to be as close, which meant you couldn't process as much wood, and it just...
And then you have the same issues with hand sanitizer and toilet paper,
right,
where there were people hoarding these kind of products,
right,
and a lot of them were the very builders who were going to be using it, but, you know, they're just buying, and it's not just United States demand. This is worldwide demand.
Right.
You have, you know, China buyers and all kinds of people all over the world coming in and being like, give me wood.
Right. And then you have to remember the hurricanes. I mean, we had a really bad hurricane season last year. So there's just a lot of things that go into it. But like you talked about the hand sanitizer. So the hand sanitizer, everybody geared up and distilleries switched over to making hand sanitizer. Now, if you go into stores, they have, you know, buy a bottle, get three for, you know, buy one, get three. It's because they literally can't give it away.
Right.
Well, there's a lot of that hand
stank
sanitizer.
So bad.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Some hand sanitizer was terrible. But you've got that problem of, and it was the same reason why the toilet paper issue was, because they know, yes, there's toilet paper. It was a weird thing for everybody to decide that we needed, but it was the thing that everybody decided that we needed.
It's the comfort
thing. They increased production, but not a ton, because they knew we haven't produced a whole bunch more humans who are going to need this product. Like, we haven't created a billion more people
Tell
who are going
to
need
that to our youngest son. A full roll totally disappears in 2 seconds.
Right, but that's because he's three, not because he needs more of it.
Truth.
So they
he's
also,
definitely not hoarding
they were like,
it.
Yes, you know. So it's just the supply and demand. And so we had a very, you know, I can't remember the term for it, but there's a term that basically says it's supply on demand. We don't hold anything in storage. We produce it and then we get there. Mm-hmm. And that worked for a really, and there's a specific term for it, but I can't
remember.
We're
not going to waste the money storing goods. And we're just going to produce them and sell them as we need them.
And that works until it doesn't work.
Right.
Because it's very delicately balanced. And so when you disturb that ecosystem, it's a very delicately balanced ecosystem. And it's not, I think, going to be the future of what we see, particularly with what China's doing in terms of the pressures that they're putting on and the changes of how they're running their market. You're going to see more people storing things for longer, because that on-demand thing is not... It works until it doesn't, and then when it doesn't, you have cars sitting in parking lots where you can't get the chip to sell them.
Right, right, which is why I'm storing whiskey.
There you go.
And beer.
There you go.
At the house.
And on that note, we're going to go to a break, and we'll talk about more of that on the other side. So we'll catch you on the other side. Don't go away.
Are you interested in the real estate market? What does low inventory actually mean? Funny, real-life real estate stories and things you should never do if you're looking to buy or sell a home. Join me, David Guthrie, and my wife, Rebecca Guthrie. We are full-time real estate agents with the Hacienda Group at Long Realty Company for This Open House on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. on 1030 The Voice, where we will discuss all this and more. That's This Open House on Saturdays at 11 on 1030 The Voice.
Welcome back yet again. We're on the other side of our break. David Guthrie, Hacienda Group, Long Realty Company, with my gorgeous wife, Rebecca Guthrie.
Hey, guys.
Joining me in studio this week. Now, you can always reach us, text message, phone, however you need to, 520-462-2611. You can also email info@thisopenhouseshow.com. And if you'd like full MLS access and...
all
access
that jazz.
To trends and fun stuff and pretty pictures of really cool looking real estate, you can go to www.thisopenhouseshow.com.
So I think I interrupted actually doing the full market report, because I think we got to 712 listings and then we went off on the tangent of supply and demand, and
you
we didn't talk about median house prices or any of that good stuff that we usually do.
This show is fluid.
I know
when Rebecca's about to bring out some brilliance and I just get out of the way.
Oh,
but
thank
I will
you.
Tell you, prior to 7 to 12 months, you know, these numbers I give you weekly always are in flux, they're moving.
Right.
So looking from now back 7 to 12 months, $247,500 was our median sales price. Last 4 to 6, it jumped up to $255,000. So that's that time period. And in the last 3 months, we've seen it go up even a little bit more to $279,422, with a days on market continuing to stay at 4. We'll see if Rebecca's prediction in the next couple of months holds true. We see a small increase in that. Homes still are getting 100% of list. Now, I did mention this last week. Days on market can be a deceptive statistic. We are required by our MLS to change status within 2 days. And this statistic is only as good as the data that gets put in. So it's up to that listing agent to change the status. And sometimes I've seen statuses get changed
before a contract's actually executed because they just want to stop getting calls on it. I've seen it take a while after it gets executed. And so there's at least a two-day margin of error in here before any lack of changes becomes a violation. And so therefore, I'm looking at it a little bit more of a loose statistic.
Yeah, I would agree.
I'm more focused on the actual sales prices, amount of inventory, and number of solds. And, you know, these homes are essentially getting absorbed as they are coming on. It's not like our market time is increasing. Looking at median three-bedroom rent, still at $1,500 per month. Our median sales price in the last 3 months is $257,750 for your three-bedroom home in Tucson. That is a median number there. With a 20% down payment, you're looking at about $1,191, $1,200 roughly. That's a savings of about $309 a month. So it is still cheaper to buy than it is to rent in many cases. And in many cases, your rent might actually be below market, and there could be a coming increase. I was having a talk the other day about this with a client of, okay, do we raise rents every year and keep up on this? You know, they've acquired a few properties. They've got some lower but longer term payers. And that last landlord really didn't have a lot of, they didn't have a lot of push to get rates up. They were just kind of leaving them where they were. And when you have your numbers stay for 3, 4, 5 years in your housing, you know, any increase is going to feel catastrophic.
I was having a conversation with that with somebody the other day because they rent, and her landlord, they've been in the house, same house for 6 years, and they haven't had a rent increase in 6 years. So they were at $1,300, and their landlord said, it's going up to $1,800. Now, that's a big jump. I'm not in any way discounting that is a big jump.
Huge.
It's a $400 jump. That's a big jump. But because they hadn't had any rent increases over the last 6 years, and then the house got sold, the property got sold as a tenant, and the new owner came in and said, hey, market value for this thing, it's a 4-bedroom, 3-bath with a pool, you're happy at $1,800.
Yes.
And they ended up negotiating somewhere in between. But
that
we're seeing that a lot more. The other thing that we're seeing vis-a-vis rentals is that we have a lot of single family houses that are rentals, not duplexes or triplexes or big multifamilies, but single families. There's a lot of single family rentals in Tucson. And one of the things that is happening right now is that for whatever reason, and there's lots of different reasons, but the landlords are saying, you know what? I'm not going to renew your lease. You need to find someplace else to live because I'm going to sell this and get the equity out of the house.
Yes.
So there's a lot that's also putting pressure on the rental market because there are fewer places available to be rentals as opposed to owner-occupied. Because if you have a rental that's a single family and then your lease is terminated and it gets turned into an owner-occupied, that family still needs to find a place to live. And so that's part of what's putting pressure on it as well. And the
Absolutely.
Other thing is that we're seeing a lot of investors still wanting to come into Tucson. We get a lot of coast investors.
Yes, yes.
Look at Tucson.
Looking to shield coming inflation within brick and mortar. And that was really our advice to our client was, look, you're better off doing regular yearly increases.
Yep.
You know, right now, last week, we told you the inflation rate the United States told us about was 5% for the last 12 months. Well, I mean, at least keep your rents increasing in line with inflation, right? That sounds fair and reasonable. And if you had increased, if that landlord had increased their rent 5% a year for the last 4 years, well, they'd be at $1,701. I mean, they were pretty close. So, and that same tenant probably would have stayed there. There probably wouldn't have been this, you know, oh my gosh, it feels so.
Right.
Yeah, you're not doing anybody any favors by just keeping your rents.
Right, and you're not doing anybody any favors by deciding that you don't want to take on the challenge of not increasing rents and then passing that on to a new owner. Just all the way around, it's not,
right.
It doesn't, it's for everybody it's a huge shock. And I'm not saying in any way, shape, or form that a jump from $1,300 to $1,800, that $500 jump, that's a big jump. But when your dollar buys 5% less because inflation is 5%, if I'm doing my math correctly, I hope I am. Otherwise, well, it is.
Yeah.
But your dollar is worth less.
You haven't had your siesta today.
No, I also haven't had coffee today.
Oh,
so
yeah,
between those two things, no nap and no coffee. We're just
if I say something out of line and she rips my head off. I wasn't going to say this.
I'm on day three. I've given
She's
up coffee
on
day three, and it is hitting me hard.
Yes. She's a caffeine addict.
It's true, but medical reasons. My doctor's like, no more caffeine for
no
you.
No more caffeine. So we're gonna get
anyways,
her healthy.
Anyways, so but
so
what
I mean, you bring up a great point there, and nobody wants to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. Well, guess what? That's why we have property managers.
Because there are some people
they
who like being bad
can
guys.
Be the bad guy for you. Heck, we've got a property manager.
We have a great
I don't want to be the bad guy. I want to go let our clients know, just like I did the other day. We have a single dad who has been saving for years and working on his credit. And you know what? I got him on the phone yesterday, and I said, remember how I told you it takes like 5 to 6 offers on average before you get something? He says, oh, I understand. I knew I wasn't gonna. I said, listen, we did it in 2. Congratulations. He's almost teary-eyed. You know, I've got this single debt. That's what we like to do.
Yep.
And if you would like to be on the receiving end of those kind of conversations, if you're interested in maybe getting out of the rental market and you want to go ahead and have those words, congratulations. Here are some keys handed to you. Well, give us a call, 520-462-2611, 520-462-2611. Now, with the time we have left, I want to talk about design trends.
In the next 4 minutes and 19
this.
Seconds,
we
we're going to talk
this,
about
honey.
Design
give
trends.
Give me one
All right,
of your
I'll
favorites.
Give you my favorite design trend right now. My favorite design trend right now actually is something that we're doing at the house that we're currently purchasing in, which is... creating indoor-outdoor space.
Mm.
And the reason that I think that this is my favorite design trend right now is because people are really looking at their backyard as more of a living space than it used to be. And in Tucson last week, not talking about, 120 degrees last week where it was still 10 o'clock at night, 101. But for most...
Great swimming weather.
It's good swimming weather. But for most of this year... in Tucson, you can be outside a lot, and people are really liking having the backyard be a place where it can be an additional living space. So there's a big trend right now in furniture that is much more comfortable for hanging out than your stereotypical backyard plastic whatever that people have.
Yeah.
Outdoor kitchens are becoming a much bigger thing. David and I are even...
We know a bunch of people putting turf in their backyards.
Yeah, people putting turf in your backyards, people adding pools or upgrading the pools to make them be much more year-round friendly. That's something we did. We added a pool heater and we converted it to salt water, and we're talking about we're going to paint the back wall white so that we can put a projector up and we can do swim and movies at night. And
absolutely, or watch the Suns slaughter everybody in the playoffs.
Yeah, we're big basketball fans.
We love the Phoenix Suns
we're
this year,
about the
and we
Suns.
Wish a speedy recovery to Chris Paul.
Yes,
I know we're Tucson down here, guys, and you'll probably never hear this, but we love you. My son wants a Booker jersey. If any of our listeners out there want to give us a gift and send some Phoenix Suns swag, we would gladly take it for sure.
Anyways, but that's a big design trend that we're seeing. That we're seeing a lot of people. And we're seeing our clients are looking for outdoor space that they can really enjoy. And or at least if it's not there, that there's space to put it in.
Right.
Backyards have become much more important, I think. And I think that a big part of that is that everybody's leery of going back into something like COVID happened last year, where there wasn't any outdoor space. You couldn't go to the park. You couldn't go out to public spaces. There was no third place that
right.
you could go.
Right.
And we didn't have offices anymore. So it used to be you had your home is one place, your office is a second, and then the hangout places were what were called the third place. There aren't any third places.
Right.
They're coming back, but
Are they going to stay back?
Are they going to stay back? And that's a lot of what we've been hearing from our out-of-state clients who were in much smaller houses that didn't have huge lots. And we're actually seeing this in the new home builds. We've been just taking clients to new builds, and they're like, there's not a lot of land. The house is huge, but the lot is really small. There's no outdoor living space. So I think that's going to be a trend that continues.
And for a lot of people, I think that's a surprise.
Yeah.
Because they're thinking, boy, why would anybody in Tucson ever want to sit outside?
Yeah, we spend so much time outside Tucson.
Yeah, most of the year.
Most of the year you can spend outside. So
absolutely.
Anyways, that's the design trend that I think is going to be continuing to be.
Guys, if you need any of our help, if you have show ideas, if you'd like to just wish us happy anniversary, or if you'd like an address where to send Phoenix Sun swag, go Suns 520-462-2611. info@thisopenhouseshow.com. If you know anybody looking to buy or sell real estate, give us a call.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. We'll catch you next week.